everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley. With me, as always, is David Hilton.
I wish Santa was as badass and real as he is on your shirt.
It's pretty pretty awesome. This is my proof to my kids that I'm not old, because it says Skibbity Rismus on the bottom of it.
What the fuck is that?
Go ask
Layla.
Are
your boys home?
Go ask Layla what Skibbity and Riz would be, and
I'll ask her.
She'll roll her eyes and she'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to explain this to you.
She's pretty locked in a room most of the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
Well, if she hangs out with anybody else her age, she's going to know. She's going to school you on Skibbity
Rismus.
Aura.
Skibbity Rismus.
All these aura. The young kids slang.
I will say, I'm feeling my age this year. Like, this is the first time that I've felt, like, not physically, but like, we were talking about before the show, and I had brought it up because I was listening to some Avenged Sevenfold today. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, I haven't heard this forever on YouTube. I'm clicking, I'm listening to it. And then at the bottom, it says 15 years old. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
That's like a...
It was like getting stabbed in the spleen.
That's like, you know, it is... we are closer to Abraham Lincoln's presidency than we are Joe Biden's birthday. Is that how that...
I don't know what kind of parallel crazy universe shit you're talking about. If that's true, holy shit. That can't be right.
I might be botching it a little bit.
In terms of life percentage, probably.
Let me find it here.
Like, you're a third closer.
Abraham Lincoln was president. He says assassinated in 1865, but it's not showing on this page
I don't know where you guys are going. I mean, I like
so
it.
So there's no way Joe Biden is bit of that old. That would make Joe Biden like 180 years
old.
Hold on.
He's going to find it. I actually bought a Remington Arms. It's a model 1889, not year 1889, double barrel shotgun. It's like from 1905,
yeah.
But it's Damascus double barrel.
So okay, it's here like you go.
Rolls. It's cool as shit. What now? What?
Joe Biden was born closer to Abraham Lincoln's presidency than he was his own presidency.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's disturbing
as shit.
So you take
Lincoln's last day in office to Joe's birthday.
Yeah.
And then you take Joe's birthday to his first day in office, and the time is longer.
Yeah.
He was born closer to Abraham Lincoln's presidency than he was his own.
I had never really thought, like, people have midlife crises and stuff, and they're like,
you're Joe.
Yeah. Oh, midlife crisis, this and that. And I always thought, man, there's like, I don't get it. Like, you're just getting old. I understand it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this morning, I'm watching the news just to kind of get a glimpse of the weather, you know, local news. It's awful. And they were like, well, the coldest day we've ever had was negative 23 all the way back in 1989. And I'm like,
what do you mean all the way back?
1989 I was like almost 10. Yeah. Like, that's not that long ago, right. Is it?
Right.
Like, ugh.
Well, it makes you realize, too, like, we have this perception that, like, we've been around for a long time, the United States has. And then you look at that and you're like, so Joe Biden was closer to Abe Lincoln's presidency.
Yeah.
And then you think Abe Lincoln was like forever ago.
Yeah, the perspective.
And you realize, like, you know, this country is only, was it 250?
Yeah, something like
close
that.
Close to 250.
The perspective of time is an interesting subject.
It is.
It's just, it's weird.
I can't.
And it's hard for certain people to deal with. And I'm wondering if I'm going to be one of those people now.
Yeah.
I can't decide. Like,
I think
I'm young and hip. And then, like, 28-year-old hot chicks look at me and they're like, ugh. And you're like, God damn it.
Try having the whole head of gray hair like I do.
Dude, mine's getting pretty gray.
People start calling you sir.
Mine's not as thin as yours.
We went out with some friends this weekend to Stewie McBrew's in downtown Lee Summit.
Did you feel like a creeper?
I wasn't the oldest guy there, but I'm like,
was my dad
I'm on
there?
The old half. I'm on the old half of people here, right? Like, there are people here that were born after I graduated high school, and they're here drinking legally.
There were people there that were born after you turned 21 and are there drinking legally.
Yeah.
Like, that's sad.
Yeah. That's like, kind of crazy.
Well, whenever you're like 15, you think, you know, 40 years old is, you're really
God,
old.
I'm going to be old now. I'm 43. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm
fuck
old.
You, 15-year-old me. Yeah.
Fuck you, 15-year-old me.
Just getting pushed back. Well, the thing is, I don't really bother trying to learn the new lang, the lingo.
Lingo?
Yeah, lang.
Said the guy who's 32. Yeah. I've never wanted to get up and punch him more than I want to punch him right now. I would kill to be 32 again.
No, we'll go back
God
and watch.
Damn it.
We go back and watch old shows, and you hear them use like slang. They're like, "That's so gassin." You're like, "What the heck?
What the fuck is gassin?"
Yeah, we were all there. It's just
I wish
generational.
It just makes you wonder like, when you look back on some of the. I'm worried about this too with like music and movies. Like looking back of things that don't age well. And you're like, what are some sayings that we're going to be saying now that it's like...
Oh, just wait.
You listen back when you're 8 years old, you're like,
remember
oh,
JNCO
man.
Jeans? They're going to make a comeback.
Do you still have a pair?
No, I never had them. But
dude, that is such a weird reference that you thought
I'm
of that.
I'm just saying. It didn't age well.
It didn't.
The really short shorts for guys came back for a period. It was like you see him. Yeah.
Well, that actually makes sense.
First
like,
off,
shorter shorts are less restrictive.
Mitch was wearing a pair like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like pretty, they were
pretty short.
They were shorter than I want to see you in shorts.
Yeah.
Like when your leg hair is furrier than the outside of the shorts, they're too tight and too short, dog.
I'm just saying. They're less restrictive.
It's like, ooh.
Great workout shorts.
Ooh. What is he wearing?
Yeah.
Ugh.
All right. I'm going to give a shout out to a listener of the show, Paul Tassin.
Paul sent us some hoodies. They're dope, too.
Yeah, sent us some hoodies. I'm going to try to get these on the...
Black camo.
Yeah, they're black camo.
Mine's right here.
Blackwater Electric LLC is his business.
Where's he at? His area code 601. Is that what that said?
Yeah.
601? I don't know where 601 is.
I don't know.
Austin will look it up. See, did you see him get his phone up this time?
Oh.
After last time, he's like, these motherfuckers, I'm going to show them.
Let's see if he can... pull it quicker than I can.
Oh, $5 to get this first.
Central and Southern Mississippi.
There you go.
Ooh, all right.
Oh, I didn't even...
Down in George's neck of the woods.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
But thanks for the hoodies. We appreciate it. It's warm-ish today.
I'll be rocking
mine. It
was
cold this weekend.
I'll be wearing mine.
So, yeah.
I have a gift for you.
Uh-oh.
Not a Christmas gift.
Uh-oh.
I've been working on these for... I wasn't working on them, but I started working on them like 4 months ago.
Uh-oh.
It's like, Mitch set the bar pretty high with the tissue blocks.
Yeah, he did.
Glove thing.
He
like,
did. But I saw this. I saw another guy do this, and I was like...
Is this a condom?
These are... It wouldn't be in a bag that big if it was for you. No, like, they're really cool.
I would need to like zoom in the lens like 10 times.
Yeah, no shit. This isn't a porno. This isn't a porno.
Oh, look at that.
Open it up.
You can open it?
Yeah, you can open that up.
It's not one of those chocolate coins?
I don't need to open it.
No, they're real coins. They're cool as shit.
Oh, that's awesome. It's a silver coin made... It's a 1 ounce silver coin with 0.999
Yeah, they're cool. Here, Austin,
silver.
I got you one too, buddy.
Oh, thanks, man.
I actually wanted to have gold ones made, but a gold coin that size was like $2,500.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, no go. And there was a minimum order. So what I'm thinking is... Some of the Tradewinds guys are going to be getting those.
Might get some too.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Some of the first guys that helped us get started, I think I'm going to send them out. I don't know what I'm going to do with the leftover ones. I haven't decided, but.
That is cool.
They are cool.
That is real cool.
If you crack that, dude, they're heavy.
Yeah, well, I can feel it.
I noticed, like, the
they're
weight.
They're dope.
I mean, it's an ounce.
They're troy ounce, whatever that is. Whatever a troy ounce is. It's like 10% over an
damn
ounce.
Damn it, Troy.
I know. They're always fucking us up.
Employed to self-employed.
Are those cool or what?
Look at that. That is awesome.
Those are pimp.
That is cool. Crazy detail, too.
Yeah.
All the lines in the ship and everything.
Yeah, they were made in Germany.
That is awesome.
So if you ever want coins made, it takes like 4 months. So don't think you're doing it for like a real quick thing. It's a fucking nightmare.
It's not going to turn around quick.
But yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome. I thought of you when I literally a guy I know had a business party. He's like, oh, I made these coins and it was cool and this and that. I was like, oh, I want to do that. And then I was into the process for like 2 months and I was like, this fucking sucks.
That's cool.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Those are cool.
Yeah. Maybe neat stuff.
I'll probably take those to the event if whatever's left.
We're actually going to remember to bring shirts this time or no?
We took shirts last time.
You didn't get him out of the car.
Oh, you're talking about the Ozarks. Yeah, I forgot all about it. It cost me $100 in shipping. I had to ship them to all the guys. I will not forget this time.
So last week we talked about my stolen Jeep. Just wanted to give everybody some follow-up on that.
Ad nauseam.
I went out the next day. So we recorded that podcast on Tuesday. I went out the next day and actually looked for it again and saw it. But it was, we were on a divided highway and I'm going 60 miles an hour one way. And this section of the divided highway, they're way divided. And he's going 60 miles an hour the other way.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
So yeah, it was like, hey, there it is. But there it goes. And by the time I turn around, he'll be 3 miles down the road. So,
oh, yeah.
But we kind of got to a point with that whole thing anyway, where it was like, all right, we don't want that one back because it's been raped and pillaged and, you know, floored for 2.5 weeks and trashed.
Yeah. Same thing as dating over 40. Yeah. I get it.
So, little loose after that. Right. So, I kind of, you know, I didn't want to be putting in more work than the cops were to find it. I had already called the cops. They gave me like a hotline number to call if I had any more information about it. I called that number and said, hey, here's my case number. Here's my name. Stolen Jeep, blah, blah, blah. I've got information. And they never did call me back. So
no, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they don't care.
Like, fuck this guy in his rich ass Jeep.
So this morning we got the official letter from the insurance company that they've deemed it a total loss and they're cutting the checks. So
cutting that check?
We're in the clear, which is good.
I love how they're like, oh, we're sending you this official letter that says blah, 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 and we're going to be sending you that. Just send the damn check with the letter. What are you doing?
I know. Well, and they're not even sending it to us because we had a loan on the car. So
no, it's going to the
bank.
When
you have a loan, all proceeds go to the bank. And then the extra proceeds come back to you. Yeah. So we got to let them pay the bank.
Yeah, you're getting a check for $10.58.
No, we're getting more than that, but still.
Here's your check for $10.
A nice bookend to the whole thing. Now, business-wise, here's some crappy stuff. So because that car, we bought it 2 years ago, because that car had a gross vehicle weight rating of over 5,000 pounds, it qualified for a business expense. You could write it off in the business. And so we actually bought that car through the business. Perks of being a business owner is you can do that.
Yeah.
Right. We accelerated the depreciation on that car as well, which is a tax rule, section 179. You can accelerate the depreciation. But because we don't own the vehicle, like you have to own the vehicle for 5 years when you do that to be problem free. But because we don't own the vehicle now,
I was going to say,
yeah, because we don't own the vehicle now, technically, we accelerated the depreciation at the full value we bought it at, but now we have to go tell the tax man what it's technically we sold the car to the insurance company is how that works. They now own, they bought the note. Basically, they bought the title to the car.
Yeah. They bought the note, paid off the note.
Yeah.
With the insurance claim.
Right. And so I actually have to pay capital gains tax on the difference from the purchase price to what the insurance company gave for it.
And do you have to,
because we fully accelerated the depreciation.
Ugh.
So in other words, we took all of, basically what it means is I got a huge tax advantage by accelerating the depreciation that year.
And they took it back.
And because I didn't own it for the following 5 years, I now have to pay a little bit of that tax advantage back.
Yeah.
Is how that's ultimately going to work.
Which so, is, let's be honest, in all fairness, that's probably how it should be.
It's the right way to do it. Yeah. It's just something that you need to think about whenever you're doing all this stuff. So,
especially if you're thinking you're going to buy vehicles and then get rid of them every 2 to 3 years. There are lots of fleet companies that have what they call quote unquote fleets, you know, that, hey, every 3 years we're changing them out.
Yeah.
So obviously they're not taking depreciation on the whole fleet when they buy it the 1 year.
Yeah.
So yeah, if
my plan in our company is any vehicle the company owns is we're going to own it for at least 5 years. I got one van in our fleet though, that's challenging me on that because it's
talking about the one that's been wrecked 78 fucking times.
No, it's in the shop right now for getting new brakes. And it's a $1,200 expense to put brakes on a Ford Transit because they have 1-ton rear axles and you have to pull the axles to do the brakes.
That's not that big a deal. $1,200. What would he do?
Well, yeah, but it's already got 50,000 miles on it in...
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
2 full years of ownership. So the plan was keep them in the fleet for 5 years, 100,000 miles, whichever comes first, and then look at kicking them out. Well, this one's going to have like 300,000 miles.
I was going to say, you can't fucking do that.
It's going to be about 150,000 miles on it at the time I have it for 5 years. So
that guy only gets booked calls close to home.
Yeah.
For the next six months.
He actually lives close. It's the previous driver of that van that lived. It was 70 miles round trip from his house to our service area and back. So that's where all the miles came on it.
When we talk about like knowing the ins and outs of your business and getting down to the nitty gritty, that's one of those things.
Oh yeah.
Like, okay,
take vehicles home.
Yeah. That my plan was 5 years, 100,000 miles. Now I've hired this guy and he's in this plan.
Yep.
Oh shit. Like yep. It's hard to keep track of all that stuff.
Yeah. I had one employee that just sprung on me. He's like, oh, by the way, I put an offer on a house an hour and a half from here.
Oh, hey, by the way, you're fired.
And I'm like, okay. And he goes, but I promise it's not going to impact my work. I'll just leave early and I'll be, you know, still run all my calls and everything. So it's going to make less time at home because of the travel. And I'm like,
who's paying for gas, dog?
I'm like, that's gas and mileage. Like,
yeah, who's paying for that?
So we modified our company policy to say that if you live within our service area, you can have a take home vehicle. If you don't live within our service area, the vehicle can't leave our service area. So,
okay, that's a fair way to look at it.
Park it somewhere within our service area, and he would have to drive a personal vehicle into the service
area.
Well,
he'd just park it at the shop, probably, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
So, but
was he pissed?
Yeah. All those. Was he pissed? No, they ended up not taking his offer on the house, and so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
it's so hard to make a decision. Like, okay, I'm going to buy this house. I'm going to put at least 15 years on it, right? Payments, right. 15 years. But I'm at a job right now where I don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to balance. What do I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd like to have him on the podcast.
That's why I don't like a lot of this, you know, what's your 5-year plan? Shit, I don't know where I'm going to be at the end of this year. Like, yeah. I've got goals.
Yeah. Try being business partners with Mitch.
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah. 3 months. Hey, you know what we're going to do? What?
Well, like, with renting, whenever we switch from independence to here, the independents are like, yeah, we need like a 2-month notice. But then, like, whenever we apply to places, they're like, we don't even want your application unless you're moving within, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, what you end up doing is, like, I gave Pepperwood the notice, and I just lied on the application and said, like, we're looking to move within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Even though it was like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's because rentals were highly sought after.
Yeah, it may have changed
when you moved.
It's been a couple of years.
No, there still are.
They still are.
They still are. It's brutal.
It's like,
out
how am I supposed to give a 2-month notice leaving, but then...
Yeah,
you know, they're not accepting applications unless you're moving within 2 weeks.
Well, yeah. you still know you're moving at the end of your deal, so you give them the 2-month notice.
Right, that's what we did.
But then you wait 2 or 3 weeks and start.
But that would require people to plan 2 months in advance.
Right,
didn't work. That's what we were just talking about.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
I don't know what I'm doing next month.
Yeah,
it's like you just say moving, that? But just like it's the anxiety of like not having a place like locked down. Like if I can't apply for a place, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Renting's tough, and it's getting tougher.
Yeah.
It's getting tougher.
Yeah.
And I'm on the Blue Springs community awareness page, you know, and there's always people on there. Hey, I'm looking for this. I'm
looking for private landlords.
I'm looking for, private landlords and rental and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, people are like, well, just buy something. And I'm like, man, do you know what the interest rate is? Like, people can't fucking afford to live. Like, you couldn't buy. Stop.
Yeah, I couldn't buy.
Back in the day, that was an option. It was like, I can either rent for the same money or buy for the same money.
Yeah.
Well, buying made sense. Now it's like, ugh.
I could not afford to buy my house today.
I couldn't afford to buy mine.
Because of the interest rates and because of the value of this house.
Yeah.
Like all my mortgages set off when we bought it.
Yeah.
And built it. You know? And because of the values and everything else, like I wouldn't want to afford this house on today's market.
No.
I'm just staying.
Yeah. The only reason we're in the house we're in now, and I've told you this before, like we built that knowing, okay, that's a retirement nest egg. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do as much of the work myself as I can.
Yeah.
Like that was the whole plan.
Yeah.
But like if I was going to go buy that now, they would just laugh.
Yeah.
They'd be like, no.
Well,
you can't have it.
It's the same repetitive cycle. Like there's a lot of very young kids that are like, that love to use the comparison like, well, of course the boomers don't get it because they live in a $1 million house that they paid $250,000 for.
Yeah. Well, and that's going to come around. If you buy $1 million house, it's going to be $2 million later.
Right. Like, the same thing goes both ways. So, you know, yes, it's different, but that's just the way the world works. So it wasn't any easier for a boomer to buy a house than it is somebody in today's day and age.
Yeah. It's cyclical.
Yeah.
Like in the 80s, interest rates on homes were like 12%.
Right.
10%.
Right.
Well, you know, also, like just insane, insanely high interest.
Right.
And then what happened? Like that drop, get to the 90s low, then back up, then back down in 08.
I'm still on that 2% COVID rate.
Yeah. I'm on 2.4. Yeah.
Well, there's 2.49. The generation thing with the boomers is like every generation and every had their own struggle was like, you know, people could be like, oh, the boomers had it easy. They, you know, they achieved whatever, but they're also like, my dad didn't have air conditioning growing up and all this sort of stuff. And like grew up on a farm. And it's like,
yeah.
There's these things of like, the boomers may have had it cheaper, but their way of life living was a little bit harder. You had to actually go to the store. You couldn't own off like Amazon and have it on your door. Yeah. I love it.
Everyone loves to play the story both ways. And what I mean by that is it'll be like, look at the price of housing and how that's gone. Okay, cool. What was minimum wage back then?
$2.
What was a plumber's wage back then compared to what a plumber makes now?
I mean, they work so much harder too.
Right. Like, so, I mean, it's literally the same. It's just on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
It's literally the exact same.
And it's the same thing. Like back in the day, people used to, not everyone, but like 50% of the population, they did their own garden. They had maybe one cow or one pig, you know, they provided for themselves. Now, if you like went to someone and was like, hey, you know, you could save money at the grocery store by doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, that means I'd have to go outside and work.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what that means.
And there were just as many
You're paying the price, either money or work.
There were just as many financial temptations back then too. Like a lot of people like to say, well, if you weren't spending $5 to $6 a day on Starbucks, you could afford more. Right. Well, back then we had all the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes stuff. We had, what was the CD?
I know what you're talking about. You buy one CD.
Maxwell House or something like
that's
that.
That's a coffee.
No,
you buy
no.
five CDs and you get 25 free or one CD at 25 free or some bullshit. I mean, signed up for that like an idiot.
There were all those kinds of things back then, subscriptions and memberships.
Yeah,
and
people were always trying to fuck you out of a dollar.
Right, right. So there were like, just as many financial temptations back then as there are now. It's just now they present themselves differently because of the internet.
The thing that's the same is your discipline to not fall for them.
Right.
And to realize, hey, I need to spend my money wisely here.
Right.
And not make dumbass decisions.
Right.
And they're probably looking at the previous generation being like, oh man, like they got it easy compared to what we have. And just like, that's just like each generation looks at the previous one and is like, man, they got it easy.
It's no different than in the 70s. You know, all the adults in the 70s era, all of the adults were looking at the kids saying, these kids are, all they want to do is party and smoke dope and have fun and be lazy. Well, that's the same thing that we think about the kids nowadays.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking about you right now.
Right.
Mitch just wants to fucking smoke dope and party and go out and have a good time. And then the worst part is he doesn't even fucking call me.
The you know, it's the classic tale of the older I get, the better I used to be.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like what's funny is that guy that was bitching, the adult in the 70s that's bitching about the young generation, back in the 50s, he was the young generation.
Yeah.
And the adults then were bitching about all these kids want to do in the 50s is just go around in their hot rod cars and and go to the soda shop and like
they're just eating cheeseburgers and doing burnouts. Yeah. Fuck these kids.
They're dancing.
They're dancing.
These days
they're sitting by the dance floor.
These days adults are like, those kids are so lazy. Meanwhile, I'm gonna put in my order for Little Caesars to be delivered to my door.
Right. I just hired a professional driver for my McDonald's.
Yeah. I still don't get that. I've never done Grubhub.
I
don't trust the bottom of the barrel losers in our world now handling my food.
Right.
Like it's one thing for me to be at the restaurant and roll the dice once. It's another to roll it a second time, like in a car.
That's
driving
like a mega
around.
Ball in the lottery.
They're like, they're like, but it's a paper sack and it's got a sticker on it that.
Yeah.
Really? Like that you're trusting that sticker with you having the shits for 3 days?
I guarantee you that a lot of those drivers have swiped a fry.
Or cut
the center out of a pizza and squished it back together.
I'm not going to say this, but when I worked at Pizza Hut, some stuff may have happened.
Yeah.
That allows me to not trust anyone in the food service industry.
You know who you used to be.
There's been a couple.
I know who I am now.
There has been like at least two or three times where I've actually gotten to the end of making an order for like DoorDash and like quit it out because it's like you order a Taco Bell for like two people and it's like $45. You're like, no way.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, we were talking about age earlier. Janine, this was 2 days ago. Yeah. She texts me and says, hey, I'm leaving Price Chopper. You want something to eat? I was like, I love Jersey Mike's subs. They're fucking awesome. She's like, I'm not driving all the way over there. She's like, you know what I want? I want some Taco Bell. I was like, okay, fine.
You want to stay till 3 in the morning? Go for it.
Dude, I shit my guts out for like 4 hours that night.
Yep.
Is it my age?
Yes.
Can I just no longer handle hot sauce?
Maybe.
Well, I feel like Taco Bell, I always have this inflated, we have this inflated view of like fast food if we haven't had it for a while. Like, you know what? Taco Bell sounds good. And then it's like the next 4 months and then you have it again and it's this whole cycle over again.
I don't know if I'll ever eat it again. Like, it had been a long time and I was like, yeah, fine. Burrito Supreme, Taco Supreme.
Yeah.
4 hours later, 4 hours. 4 hours. Shit my guts out.
It's funny we're talking about...
Mitch is disgusted by my shit talk.
No, it's funny we're talking about like wasteful spending and stuff like that, because that's what part of the topic of the show is, you know, we're at the time where everyone's going to make their New Year's resolutions, right?
Yeah.
And the classic thing of New Year, new me, right? Everyone thinks of, like, it's going to switch like a light switch when that ball drops and they...
Yeah.
I've
never been that person, but this year I have been like, okay, next year I have specific financial goals I want to reach. Like, okay, I'm going to do this.
Right.
This is the first time in forever.
Yeah. And so, you know, now's the time where you're going to see all these posts on social media talking about how, like, you know, 2023 was a warm up and 2024 was full of the lessons and 2025 is our year. Like, and
yeah, like, what were you doing, dude?
Well, like, look at your personal statements that you've made to yourself and look at your social media posts that you've made every year for the last 5 or 6 years. They're all the exact same thing. 2019 was a warm up. 2020 was a COVID year. Everything got fucked up. So 2021 is my year.
2020 don't count. I didn't get in shape because I could.
Yeah.
You were at home with nothing to do. You should have been in shape, dog. Right. Like,
and so then the next year, it's like 2020 was the warm up. 2021 taught me everything I need to know. 2022 is my year.
Yeah.
Like, eventually you got to realize that it's a lot more than just a statement.
Yeah.
You got to actually like change something.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a hoodie that I wear to Dog Pound.
You still going to Dog Pound?
Oh yeah.
Any
there's
hot
a hoodie
moms
that
them?
I wear there. When Danielle goes. Yeah.
Nice catch.
So there's a Dog Pound's slogan is, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And I love the parallel to fitness, because like, nobody's making you get in the car and drive to the gym. Nobody's making you lift heavier weights. Nobody's making you your treadmill faster.
It's the
or
discipline.
Longer.
It's the discipline talk.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you is a 97% accurate statement. It's off by 3% because the it that it's talking, referring to is you. If you don't challenge yourself, you don't change.
Yeah.
Like you could read that statement. If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And you're like, yeah, I'm ready for any challenge. But then they don't take the opportunity to be challenged when it presents itself.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, why am I in the same place? Well, you didn't accept the challenge.
Yeah.
Right.
You challenged yourself and then just didn't act on it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I don't know if we have like religious listeners to the show. I'm sure we do. But the same could be said for like prayer. Right. There's a lot of people that will pray to God and ask for patience or ask for healing or ask for, you know, better skills in a certain area.
Yeah. Or pay raise or whatever.
They don't realize that in that situation, God doesn't give you patience. He gives you opportunities to develop your patience. In other words, when you pray for patience, your life gets harder. Like, it literally gets harder.
Yeah.
So that you can exercise your patience muscle.
Yeah.
And get better at being patient.
Yeah.
Right. When you pray for financial security,
you're
going to be tempted with financial things so that you can exercise your financial discipline and therefore build your financial security.
It's
it
like,
all centers on you.
It's like the person in the flood that prays to God for the raft or, you know, to be rescued.
We've got a viral clip from that, from me telling that story.
It's like, oh, I sent a helicopter and you didn't get on it.
Yeah,
like,
what the newscasters were forecasting the rain's coming. And the lady's like, my God will protect me. And then the rains show up and the news forecasters are like, it ain't going to stop. It's going to flood. My God will protect me. And then the floodwaters start rising and everyone starts evacuating. And she says, my God will protect me.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
And then the floodwaters get to the door of her house and she retreats to the roof. Yeah. And she's like, nope, my God will protect me. I'm not leaving. And then the floodwaters get to the roof and a helicopter comes to pick her up. And she's like waving them off like, no, my God will protect me. And then she drowns.
She gets to heaven.
And she's standing at the pearly gates and she's like, God, what's up? I thought you had me. And he goes, what do you mean? I sent like news forecasters, police, evacuation notices, and helicopters. Yeah, like, what more do you want?
Get the fuck on it. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Right. So, I mean, it all comes around you having the ability to identify those opportunities to grow. Yeah. Right. If you go to the gym, those opportunities are there every day. You could be bench pressing those 35-pound dumbbells and the 40s are sitting right next to it.
Yeah.
That's your opportunity.
The thing is, people want to skip the work regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
They want to skip the work and they want the easy way out. Hey, FYI, there's no easy way out.
Right.
There is no, like, this country is the easiest way out, and you're here already.
Yeah.
So take advantage of every opportunity you get.
Now, there are like, short-term shortcuts, but the only long-term change is through changing your discipline, changing your habits, right? Yeah. So, like, let's say you're way obese and you go through liposuction or some other procedure to remove your obesity.
Yeah.
It'll come right back unless you change your discipline. So, like, I'm not going to knock the temporary shortcut because it gives you a leg up, right?
Yeah.
But you got to change the discipline so that you don't end up right back where you were. Otherwise, the whole liposuction thing was a waste, right? Yeah.
I love the religious aspect you were talking about. Like, I love the people that pray. They're like, oh, God, I want to know you more. And then it's like, did you read your Bible every day?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no.
Yeah.
Well, then what the, what are you doing?
Yeah. How do you think this actually works?
Here's a book. Read it. It'll make you better. They'll read 87 self-help books, but then they won't read that book.
Right.
It's insane to me.
The same goes for the self-help books. They'll read 87 self-help books, do nothing, and then wonder why none of those books helped.
Well, it gave me 10 points to work on. Well, did you work on them? Well, no.
Yeah.
Well, then it ain't going to help
you. It ain't working, right?
Like, what the hell?
And so, ultimately, as we're going through all these, like, it's up to you to recognize the dropped promises from the past, and it's up to you to break that cycle.
Austin's making fun of me. My redneck came out.
Oh. No, I just do the thumbs up. You sound like Madea there. No, like, my our bishop has the best saying. He says, like, work like it depends on you and pray like it depends on God. So you're doing both. Like,
yeah, you got to do both.
But then you're also working your booty off.
Right.
Yeah, you got to do both.
Right.
No one's going to help you, dude.
And that's let's say you have a financial goal. You want to get out of debt. Cool. Like, come up with a realistic plan. Don't just be like, I'm going to be out of debt by the end of the year and then have no plan.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
what is your amount of debt? What is your ability to pay that off?
Yeah.
What are some things you can control? Okay, cool. Put a good timeline together. And, you know, we've said it before that people overestimate what they can do in a year, but they underestimate what they can do in 5. Right.
Yeah.
And so
we talk about that a lot.
Yeah. So like your debt free thing, if you want to get out of debt, you might not be able to do it in a year. It might take you 2.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't mean it's not a worthwhile goal, because let's say the amount of debt you have, let's just call it 50 grand. Well, being 25 grand in debt is a whole lot better than being 50 grand in debt.
Yeah.
So if your goal is to pay off 25 grand in debt by the end of the year, cool. That's the goal. And now you're halfway to being debt free. You run that play for another year and boom, debt free.
I saw an awesome quote. Maybe it was a Price Sharp on a shirt or something, but it says like a year ago from now, you'll wish you would have started today.
Yeah.
There's always a thing of like, man, if I had started 2 years ago on learning this thing, I would have been here.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's no time in the present. Like, you know, 2 years from now, you know, you wish you would have started.
Yeah. It's the tree planting thing.
Yeah.
The best time to plant a tree was 5 years ago. The next best time is right now.
Yeah.
Like, growth takes time.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it is. Finances, personal growth, family growth. It doesn't matter. It takes time.
Right.
There is no, and I don't want to blame like society, but I will blame social media a little bit
Yeah.
You know, because everyone sees instant success when they flip the phone on. It's like, that's not how it happens. Like, those people have been working on it for a long time.
Well, I'll challenge you on that. I don't blame social media. I blame the individual's perspective. So, in other words, social media just makes everyone's living their highlight reel more prevalent, right? Before social media, people were still trying to keep up with the Joneses. Right. And your neighbors buy a new car. You want to go buy a new car. Your neighbors build a house addition. You want to build a house addition and all this stuff. Right.
Well, it changed. I'll say it changed the perspective. How about that? Like, OK, I'm only trying to keep up with these five people. Now people are trying to keep up with 2 million people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'll blame it that way.
And,
how about that?
And, you know, there's plenty of people out there that have grown their businesses incredibly fast and that will attribute the growth to outside factors that they were just taking advantage of or recognizing the opportunity, right? There are a few people out there, these are the gurus, that grew their business quick and they say, this was all me. They refuse to admit that some of it may have been the market. Some of it may have been a cash infusion. Some of it may have been they got very fortunate with the first few hires. Right.
Yeah.
They'll say it was all me. Those selfish guys are the guys that turn out to be the gurus that can't really back up. Like they couldn't replicate those same results again.
Yes.
And so where you'll see this is you'll see one guy start a business and it takes off and does well. And then he goes and tries to start another business and it flops.
Yeah.
And what's funny is he still takes all the credit for the one that did well.
Yeah, but won't take the credit for the other one.
Right,
yeah.
He blames all the outside factors on the one that flopped.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, hold on. If the outside factors flopped this one, then the outside factors may have given you a hand up.
Yeah. Right? I mean, sometimes the ball just does bounce your way.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you get opportunities that other people don't get.
Yeah.
But they pounced on them and made the best of it. That doesn't mean that they're better than you. That doesn't mean that your process isn't working. That doesn't mean that you won't get there eventually.
Right.
Like, And that's what I meant when I was saying like social media, like it puts a fog over what it actually takes 90% of the time to get things done.
Yeah. Well, like luck is where preparation meets opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Well, the biggest part of that is the opportunity. We can all prepare.
Yeah.
I can exercise my financial discipline. I can learn all about money and how it works. I can learn all about lending and how it works. I can learn all about marketing and how it works and everything else. But if the opportunity never shows up for me to use all of that knowledge, then it never shows up, right? Take athletics. You can get a guy that runs the amazing routes and has the he knows how to catch it when he's being closely defended and everything else. But if he smokes the defender, he never gets the opportunity to have that amazing catch with a defender's hands in his face because he's 5 yards in front of him.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, the guy that didn't smoke the defender that has to do the amazing catch, he gets labeled as lucky. That was a lucky catch. No, it wasn't lucky. He was prepared. He trained to make that catch.
Yeah.
And then the opportunity to make that catch came available. And so he took the opportunity and his training and produced a catch that a lot of people will call lucky. And it's maybe not that. Like Joe Burrow had an amazing catch or throw over the weekend.
God, he sucks.
Does he?
Yes.
I don't know. He's the first time ever. Josh Allen got.
Five
TDs in 3 games in a row.
Yeah. Joe Burrow's
throwing up some. I'm gonna say the Bengals' problem is the defense.
It's so funny you bring this up because I was literally reading an article today that was, you know, oh, Joe Burrow's putting up all these numbers. It's great. It's blah, blah, blah. He's done all of these great things and fantastic. And the only reason he can't do it is because of the defense. And then the rebuttal, and this wasn't even a Kansas City writer. The rebuttal was, do you remember in 2018? I think it was 2018 when Patrick Mahomes had the 28th ranked defense in the league and they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, and they can't get even, I don't know what their record is, but it's shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he can't get them to that.
Yeah.
He's not clutch.
Yeah.
He's not clutch.
Right. No, I get it.
Like the problem with media and the NFL is they do this to a ton of players.
Mm-hmm.
They will crown players and try to build them up, which is their job, right? Hey, we have to have superstars in the league. But sometimes they pick these players and then those players don't pay off, and then they just keep holding them up and holding them up, and everyone's just like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just go to someone that deserves some recognition. Yeah. Like Lamar Jackson this year is having a great fucking year.
Yeah.
Go back to Lamar Jackson. He's killing it.
Yeah.
But last year, they were all on Lamar Jackson, and he didn't win, and they just let his ass fall to in the media realm, let him fall to the ground. Like, dude, what are you talking about? He's still great.
Right.
He's way compared to Joe Burrow, he is the greatest quarterback to ever play.
Yeah.
He's so much better than him.
Yeah.
They're just always lifting up Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Well, and
it's crazy.
A lot of that, the comparison to athletics, I love it because, you know, in athletics, you got a 53-man roster. There's not one person on any one of those teams that can win the game, right? It takes the team effort.
Yeah.
It takes the opportunity, the right opportunities for the team to come together and pull it off, right? And business is the same way. You know, our business wouldn't be where it is today without the team, right?
No.
Yeah, I get to kind of spearhead things and I get to pull the strings and call the shots, but it's still the team that's doing all the work. No, it's still the team that deserves all the accolades.
If they're not making sales, you're fucked.
Right.
If they go 3 weeks, if they came in and said, Mitch, you know what? Fuck you for 2 weeks. You're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You're in fucking trouble.
Right, right.
You know, it takes a team.
Yeah, it absolutely does. So as you guys are, like, looking at New Year's resolutions, I don't like New Year's resolutions because it's too cliche and more people break them than hold them.
Well, and it's
so the pattern becomes New Year's resolutions are those promises that you never keep to yourself.
If you were going to really make change and you wanted to make that change, you would do it right now.
Right. Well, the other thing is people make resolutions about shit they can't control.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is you'll I'm gonna lose 20 pounds next year. Okay. Well, you might not be able to control that, but how about you make a resolution of like I'm gonna walk 5 miles a week.
Yeah.
Or something like that, like
a behavior change.
Yeah. Make the resolution about the action you're gonna do different, not the result.
Yeah.
Right. That's where the resolutions should be. And this goes all the way down to your self-confidence. If you make a resolution to go to the gym 7 days a week and you miss one day, you broke your streak and now your confidence is shattered, right? If you make the resolution to go to the gym 5 days a week and you go seven, now you're on cloud nine. And if you miss 2 days because of the schedule or the timing or you were sick or whatever, well, now you're still fulfilling your promise, right? So like realistic goals for resolutions is very important.
Yeah.
So
realistic goals with anything is important.
Yeah.
I can't come to Mitch and go, Mitch, I'm going to make $10 million next year.
Yeah.
And Mitch is going to go, how? And you're going to go, I don't know, but that's my resolution. Right. Like, that's an unreachable goal.
Right. Right.
You know, so it's like unrealistic.
The last couple of years I set financial targets, revenue targets for our plumbing company. And it was a joke because I wasn't doing anything to back up the target. The target was just the target. And then I'd take the total revenue for the year, divide it by 12, and be like, all right, we got to do this much this month. Well, how are you going to do it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And so this year, I'm going the other way with it. And, you know, I'm far enough in business where I recognize that some of it is just plain math. We run this many calls at these kind of metrics. We're going to produce this kind of revenue. And so this year, I'm going the other way with it. There is zero financial goal, and it's a marketing goal. It's a call target goal. It's a call volume goal.
Yeah.
And if
the dollars are there.
And if all of our other metrics are there and I manage the company well, then we'll hit the financial goals or the financial target or improvement or whatever. But I'm flipping the goal to the thing I can control rather than the thing that I like the outcome. I don't want the outcome. I want the steps going in. Right. So, you know, you can't say like, oh, this year I'm going to finish this year with the best marriage ever. No, like. Commit to date night once a week.
I don't even know what that is. What's the best marriage ever?
Well, it's all in perspective.
That's what I'm saying. People say stupid shit like that, blanket statements, and there's no real way you can get there because it's oblivious.
Yeah.
Well, I would start
it's not a hard fact.
You'd have to take like actionable items, like say, for instance, if good marriage to me means like I don't want to get an RE, like this isn't any of our relationships, but just like say if like
nice caveat.
Say if like, oh, I'm tired of getting in arguments as soon as I walk in the door from work. Like start there. Like what action can I take? How can I negotiate? How can I communicate to where it's like, hey, when I get home from work, like maybe I do these three things to where it's like, you know, there's not like an argument exploding once I get home from work or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and if you've been married 5 years and you want to have the best marriage of ever next year, all it takes is for your sixth year of marriage to be the best of your 5 years. Yeah, right.
You're talking 20% chance.
That's like, okay, surely you can control that, right? Don't keep up with the Joneses. Don't follow people on, like, you know, everyone has it perfect on social media. Very like nobody,
nobody says, oh, well, every day I get home other than this one day, my wife slaps me in the mouth and tells me, you know what I mean? Like,
well, so I have some friends that are going through a separation right now. All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show. And they were never married.
Anyone I know? They were never married. Then it's not a fucking separation.
Well, they've got kids together, mortgages together, cars together, businesses together.
I know who you're talking about.
Do you?
Did they come to our first event?
Maybe. I don't know.
Big guy?
Yeah, but that's not who.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's I know who you're talking
There's
about.
There's a lot of people going through a lot of separations right now. I don't know what the hell's going on.
But this is why you can't trust social media, because the classic thing is a lot of people are posting about their spouse, saying what they think people want to see. And then all of a sudden, they quit posting their spouse. They update their new Facebook profile picture to it's just them and their kids. No longer is the spouse in it. They change their status to single.
I'm working on myself.
And then, undoubtedly, everyone becomes a philosopher at that moment.
Yeah.
And here comes all the inspirational posts. Dude. And here comes all the self-care posts. And here comes all the watch out for you and make sure you're good at home and all this. And it's like,
dude, there's a lot of those lately.
I know.
It's bad, man.
And
I
see through it, because it's like, dude, I don't trust a thing you said, because 2 weeks ago you were talking about how your wife was the most amazing person ever. And now you're talking about how she was cheating on you. So, like, which is it? And do I want to take that advice? Like, do I want to put a lot of stock in your inspirational quote when you don't even put stock in your inspirational quote? Because if you did, you'd either have solved this relationship thing prior or you wouldn't be in the relationship thing.
I'm not going to say anything.
So
this quote kind of goes a little bit with the last part we were talking about, but I was listening to a business owner, and he said that every once in a while, him and his business partner, they'll ask themselves the question. They say, are we actually getting better, or is everyone else just like sucking?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, it goes a little bit along what you were talking about.
Right. Well, that's the whole comparing to other people is like, if you want to be the best in your industry, that usually doesn't take much.
Dude, these days and age, no.
Right, right.
Like, you can be in the top 15% in your industry if you just have decent customer service.
Yeah.
Your work can be average. You can have decent customer service and be in the top 15, 20%.
Right. You answer easily. Your phone, you're in the top 50%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it's insane.
Don't be the best in the industry. Be the best you can be.
Yeah. And then
that'll put you not only the best in the industry, but like in the untouchable class.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so many people use a shitty industry and say like, well, we're the best. Well, is that good? Well, we're just less shitty than everybody else.
Well, we do concrete. The concrete workers, they get me. I love them. I have a lot of great friends that do flat work. But it's like, man, all you have to do is show up when you say you're going to show up.
Yeah.
And you have so much work, you don't know what to do with it.
Right.
I'm like, man.
So, I've thought about customer service and ethics. We're going to wrap the show up. We're not wrapping up, but like the last topic we're talking about.
Start flat work and have Austin help us.
Oh, maybe.
I realize I put this hoodie on and I look like a Quick Trip, bro. Like everyone at Quick Trip looks like this.
You're now a flat work concrete worker.
Yeah. Everyone.
Well, he's wearing an electric hoodie, Blackwater Electric.
Yeah. None of those guys have flat work hoodies. They have fucking some shitty hoodie they got from one of their buddies that's in the trade. Same difference.
I know, like I wear the smelly plumbing shirts all the time and I'm like going through Quick Trip. I know as I'm walking by, people are thinking like, that guy's not a plumber.
No.
Like they just see me walking through like, You know, skin as wide as can be, yeah, just like Chipper.
Once every few shows, Austin has a real dinger. That's a good one.
I just self-reflection. I'm like, there's got to be at least one person that's like,
these motherfuckers know I ain't no plumber.
Yep. Yeah. So, with Danielle's car getting stolen, talking about customer service and ethics here, with Danielle's car getting stolen, we were put in a position to go buy new cars, right? And the high level overview of this whole talk is the current car dealership model is very soon to be fucked.
We talked about this before the show. It's been this way for 5 years, and it does fucking suck. When you go to the car lots, like back in the day, you would just go to the lot and drive around, be like, I want that. Yeah. I want this. Well, now everyone's online.
Yeah. Like CarMax. Hence your problem. Great.
Yeah.
Fuck CarMax.
So
they're standing out in the industry.
No, they're not. They suck too.
They're doing better than most. I'll say that.
They are doing better than
He's
most.
In that book, I think that they ask you answer. I think they're in that.
They might be. So, you know, Danielle and I had to go car shopping, and at first, you know, because her other Jeep SRT got stolen, we were like, maybe we don't want to go the SRT Mopar route, right?
And then you caved because that's what she wanted. Got it.
No, there wasn't caving. I didn't say we're not going that, right? Both of us were like, maybe we don't want to go that route. And so we were checking out other options, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were looking at new Jeep Grand Cherokees that they don't make an SRT. So and then we were also looking at some like a Chevy Traverse. Cable Dahmer is a local car dealer here in the Kansas City area. I don't know if they're nationwide or not.
Who used to be the best.
They used to be awesome. Their slogan is the Cable Dahmer difference.
Chevy dealer.
Yeah.
In the three state area, probably.
Yeah.
Four state area.
Their slogan is still the Cable Dahmer difference. Well, we set up for a test drive on a certain Jeep. And just like you said, everything's on the internet. The internet says this Jeep's in stock at this location. We call that location, say, hey, is this thing in stock? And they say, yep. You want to schedule a test drive? Yep. So we set it all up. And they're borderline excessive amounts of communication because I'm now getting text messages from three different numbers and emails from four or five different people, all offering assistance and how can we help? And it just puts you into that automated feedback loop, that automated follow-up loop, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we have this test drive set up.
Real estate's the same way, by the way.
Yeah. Real estate is.
It's awful.
So we go out there. Danielle and I take 2 hours out of our day to this dealership's 45 minutes from the house. So we block out 2 hours and we drive all the way out there. And keep in mind, they called like that morning, confirming that we're still on for our test drive appointment.
And then they hang up and they think, they call the other, like, are you bringing that? Yeah. Fucking Jeep over here or not?
So we get there and come to find out the Jeep's not on the lot. It's not even in their inventory. And this is they waited until we were on site to tell us that, right?
You know what? It's a legal debate and switch. Maybe get deep as squaly.
Yeah, maybe.
Be like, hey, Mike, so help me out, bro.
And so we test drove a different Jeep that had a different engine in it than what we wanted. And it was very underwhelming and all of this. And so I told the sales guy, I'm like, look, I'm not totally happy here. Like, we came to test drive this one. You don't have it. He's like, we have another one. It's on a storage lot and it's an hour round trip to go to the lot and get it and come back. And I'm like, well, I set aside 2 hours today to test drive this Jeep. I'm not setting aside 2 hours tomorrow to come test drive the other one.
Yeah. Fuck you, bro.
And he says, tell you what, I'll deliver it to your house and you can test drive it for 24 hours and then I'll pick it back up. And I'm
sold.
Like, okay, that I can get around, right? You drop the ball round one. Now you're offering to make it up and go above and beyond. Like, I can get around that.
I will always give someone one more chance.
Yeah. So the opportunity to test drive the other one, he texts me, hey, I'm traveling to the car lot right now to go get it. Hey, I'm in the car. I'm going to run it through the car wash real quick. And then he's like, oh, by the way, the battery just died on this thing and we're not going to be able to drive it. We'll have it all fixed up for you tomorrow. We'll bring it out tomorrow.
So he was bullshitting the whole time.
And so I'm like, okay, well, now we're 0-2. Test drives.
Don't lose my number, dude.
I said, don't be surprised if when you call me back and say it's actually working that I tell you don't worry about it. Because I've tried to test drive twice and we dropped the ball, right? Never did call me back. No follow-up. No nothing. Who knows? Who knows what's wrong with that car, okay? Well, in the process, we also found that maybe we were looking at Chevy Traverses. And so we went to a different cable Dahmer dealer because, again, it's all driven by the internet. You use the internet to find out who has the car you want, and then you go to that dealer, right?
Yeah.
I'm not just blindly going to a car dealer and, like, shopping.
I still do the old, like, I still old school it.
Yeah.
I go to the deal, and I drive around, and I'm like, I like that.
Well, yeah, so we were doing that, but, like, digitally.
Yeah. But you have very specific tastes in this instance.
Well,
like, I don't know what I'm looking for sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. That's right. You know what I mean? And it's there. I can.
Yeah.
There it is.
Well, and so, like, in this case, we wanted a loaded Chevy Traverse, a Chevy Traverse RS. The other one, I think they call it like the LT. The LT's got like cloth seats, rubber floors. None of the fancy features. Like, it has heated seats, but not cooled seats. It doesn't have the adaptive cruise, you know, shit like that. Right.
Yeah.
And so, we were looking at the RS, which has all the options, the sunroofs and the leather and the heated and cooled and the adaptive cruise and everything. And so, I set up another test drive, right? Same process. It's the same branch of a dealer. It's still the cable Dahmer dealer. Yeah. But this is a different
GMC,
location.
Chevy, Buick, Lincoln. No, not Lincoln. All of them are Jeep. They're all using that same fucking software.
Yeah.
So every time you look, it's all the same
and
shit.
And so same thing. I set it all up, you know, excessive communication, you know, all these texts, all these emails from all these different people, you know, and it's like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm your salesman. Cool. Hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm the office manager. Let me know if I can help in any way. Hey, I'm so-and-so.
Emails.
I'm the sales manager. Let me know if I can help in any way. It's like, who the fuck am I supposed to talk to? Right? It's very confusing if you're a customer.
Yeah.
And because next thing you know, you ask a question and then you get an automated reply from somebody else at the dealer. And it's like, wait, did I just get passed off to them? Do I need to converse with them now? It's very confusing. So anyway, we set up this test drive for this other one. And this one, we actually set it up for a 24-hour test drive. And so, cause we actually had high hopes for this. We thought this was going to be it. And we wanted to, like, it's bigger than her old car. The Traverse is like 18 inches longer than her old car. And so it's like, let's make sure it fits in the garage. Let's make sure the kids fit in it really well. You know, all those things.
Yeah.
And so, we went into the location, they were going to deliver it. So we set it up. We set all this up on a Friday to go out Saturday morning and test drive. They would pick up the car and then we were going to drop it back off, you know, over the weekend. Friday afternoon, they send me a customized walk around video of the car we're looking for. Like the one that we're supposed to test drive.
Okay.
And the sales guy's like, Mr. Smedley, you said your wife wants a dual panel sunroof. Here it is right here. And he pans the camera up to there and he's showing me all the features and how it works. And this button does your heating and cooled seats. And this button does your automated driving. Chevy apparently has some kind of self-driving mode or something that comes with the higher end models.
They do now.
And and so he's talking about all this, and this one actually has like a rear view camera. It's not a rear view mirror, but if you wanted to do the mirror, like you flip it this way, and if your wife decides she doesn't like it, like it's a full customized video. This isn't AI. This is some sales guy sitting
there with his phone. He was like, I'm gonna fucking shoot this video.
Yeah,
I'm gonna shoot
the video,
and
text it to me, right? So that's early afternoon Friday. So I'm like, cool, I'm excited to see you tomorrow morning, 9:45. Tomorrow morning rolls around 9:30. We're on the way to the dealer. We get a call from the dealer. Hey, just checking to make sure you're good on your appointment. You know, yep, we're good. We'll be there in 10 or 15
minutes.
Be
there in 10 minutes, motherfucker.
Sweet. We'll see you soon. So we get there and they don't have the car.
Where was the car?
It had been transferred out of their location. And so I had already told this guy that we've already struggled with another cable Dahmer dealer about getting
Which
to the
dealer
lot.
Is this?
Nolan Road.
The cable second Dahmer time on, or the first time?
The first time was on State Line, Cable Dahmer Dodge on State Line. The second time was Cable Dahmer Chevy on Nolan Road.
All right.
And so, I already told the guy, like, this other, you know, we get there and the car's not there.
I don't understand. He sent you the video the day before.
Yeah.
And they transferred the vehicle.
Somehow in a course of like seven.
Someone bought.
Not even seven business hours, someone, like five business hours.
Someone bought that fucking thing.
Right. And I even told him after, like, he literally sent the custom walk around video and I replied to it with, as you remember, we had another car disappear out from under us before we could get there and test drive it. If I need to put money down on that car to hold it, I will. Because the, like, again, with the internet, we were able to tell that that was one of the few in the entire metro area with all the options that we were looking for and the color that we were looking for and everything.
Yeah.
And so, so we get there and there's no car. So he gives us, like a LT and says, go test drive this one. Well, you can't take a customer that was coming in to test drive one with a sunroof and heated and cooled seats and leather seats and all the adaptive cruise control features and everything, and then go stick them in a base model stripped down one that's cloth interior, no sunroof, like none of the extra features, none of the anythings. You can't do that and expect the customer to like have a good experience. Right?
No, they're let down from the get go.
Right. And so we went ahead and took the car home because that was the plan. We thought Danielle was going to have an extra car. And so, like, I had errands to run that day. She had errands to run that day. So, like, the plan was she was going to run these errands in the car that she was test driving. And so we went ahead and took it. But we drove it back up there, like, Sunday. Like, the very next day, we drove it back up there and dropped it off.
Was someone there Sunday?
No.
Oh, you did the key box.
Yeah, we just dropped it off in the service key box.
Yeah.
And so then Monday rolls around and here I get all these calls, you know, hey, just following up with you. How'd you like that test drive and everything else? And so I spoke with the sales managers at both of the locations and let them know that they just cost themselves like $60,000. Cause that's the value of the car that we were going to buy was $60,000 bucks.
They cost themselves $2,000.
Yeah. Whatever they make on it. Yeah. Right. They cost themselves a $60,000 sale.
Yeah.
And I said, I already know what you're going to say. You're going to blame it on your AI inventory software that's not up to date or something like that. And I don't like anything you tell me is literally an excuse because this has happened now 3 times at 2 different Cable Dahmer locations.
Yeah.
Where I'm promised a test drive and it doesn't happen.
You know what sucks about the Cable Dahmer thing is Dahmer sold.
Oh, yeah.
So someone else owns it, but they still use Dahmer's deal. And like, you know, that guy's like, man, this, what the fuck?
Yeah. And so, like, I was turning it around on these. I made sure to tell these sales managers, I'm like, your sales guys were actually great. Like, they did the best they could with this software that's fucking your customers over, right?
Talk about giving your salesmen no tools.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I said, you guys are sales managers, so you guys are paid on commission based off of how well your salesmen perform. So this actually cost you money, too, because now you're one unit less of sold, your top line revenue is now 60,000 less of sales. And now your sales guy didn't get to make a sale because he didn't have a car to sell.
Yeah. Right? Twice.
And I said, look, you know, I could just like go about my, like, I'm actually taking an extra 10 minutes out of my day to have this conversation with you, but I don't have to have this conversation. I said, I'm in a service business too. Only when people call me, they're pissed. It's like one of the worst days they've had in a long time. If they have to call me, because their house is flooded, their shitter's backed up, or the water heater's not working. So when they call me, they're upset. People love buying new cars. Like, I would love to have your job. It's got to be easy to sell something to somebody that they want, that makes them smile, that makes them happy.
Yeah,
Nobody smiles over a new sewer.
I hate buying new cars.
Right. Well, I mean, the general population of people, right?
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, I'm mad. Like, fuck this. This truck sucks.
Even after all of that stuff, we kind of realized that, no, Danielle just kind of wanted to get back to what was stolen. She really liked that car. She just wanted to get back to what was stolen. And so we found one used down in Oklahoma, in Pryor, Oklahoma, Patriot Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Pryor, Oklahoma.
Are they paying the podcast?
No.
Then you owe me $10.
No, you'll see why they aren't paying in a minute. So,
what?
They're getting ready to get drug on the podcast. So,
okay.
They have a Jeep that's 1 year newer. Hers was a 2020 that was stolen.
I wanted my $10.
hers that was stolen was a 2020 and it had all the options. They had a 2021, same color, same options, same everything. It had 4,000 more miles than hers. I'm like, okay, that's probably as close as we're going to find to what we lost. Right? Because they don't make these SRT Jeeps anymore.
No.
22, I think, was the last year for them.
Yeah. They didn't make, they're cool. They didn't make financial sense for their market.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like for that kind of money, people are like, man, I could get this Jag.
Right.
Or I could get this you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were like in a market that wasn't theirs.
Yeah. And so, they have it listed online for $55,000. So I call them up and I'm like, hey, I'm interested in the Jeep.
Yeah, we talked about this last time.
Did we?
Did we?
I don't think we did.
We didn't?
No.
We
did. I want to say we did. Like, you were about to go, like, last Thursday.
Yeah, we went last Thursday to go get it.
You talked about how you were like, okay, we're going to go try to do it. That's about all you said.
Yeah. So they have the price listed online at $55,000. Okay. So I call them and say, hey, I'm interested in the Jeep. I'm in Kansas City though. So like, we got to get all this hashed out before I even drive down there. Like, I want to know what I'm driving down to. I want to know what I'm going to spend. I want to know that the vehicle's in great shape and everything else. And they're like, vehicle's in perfect shape. It's been through our, you know, it's certified, used, blah, 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 whatever. Right. And I said, okay. And so $55,000. And they said, well, are you financing or are you not? And the dealers love to play this game where they change the price if you don't finance through them, right?
Because they're making extra money.
Yeah. And so I'm like, nope, I'll finance it through you guys, right? My bank used to have really competitive rates. They don't right now. So I can finance it cheaper through you guys. And they were like, okay, cool. So they were like, sales price of the car, $61,000. And I'm like, what do you mean 61? The website says 55. Well, there's reconditioning fees on top of that. And I'm like, wait. You said if the vehicle's in great condition, like what reconditioning fees am I paying for? And why is that not built into the sales price? So long story short, through all this conversation, like five of the $6,000 that they're wanting to charge is for what they call their Patriot Pledge, which has absolutely nothing. It's not a pledge to anything. It's a prepaid maintenance program where you're paying $5,000 up front for maintenance on a Jeep that you may or may not do with them, that you may or may not still own at the time the maintenance gets done. Not to mention they're 3.5 hours away. I'm not taking it to them to get it maintained, right? But if you do all of that, they extend the warranty out to like 100,000 miles or something.
Perfect.
And so I'm like, yeah, let's cut through all that bullshit because I'm like driving down, I'm buying a commodity and I'm leaving. Right. I'm not buying a service. I'm buying a commodity.
Yeah.
So what's the price that takes? So now I knew that they were lying about the online price. Right.
Yeah.
The car is not $55,000.
People act like online price and on this and that. And the only fucking platform that works on is Amazon.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Online sucks to buy shit.
And so they were like, the cheapest that car leaves the lot is $57,500. And I'm like, OK, so it's not 55. It's $57,500. Yes. OK. Well, keep in mind, for a car in this condition, as advertised and everything else, I'd have paid 60 for it because that's what our car was worth when it got total, when it got stolen, right? So I, in my head, I have this thing's worth 60 grand, right? And so we set up everything to go down there Thursday to get it, and we get down there. The wheels have curb rash on them that was not disclosed ahead of time. And
which is going to be worse after Danielle drives it for a week.
I mean, she had her other one for 2 years and never curbed the tires on that one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's part of why she liked it was because she felt super comfortable knowing where the wheels are and all that stuff. Yeah. So she's not like scraping them on drive-thrus and shit. But so the thing was so low on fuel, the miles to empty read low. Like, we don't even know how many miles he got left.
Jenny's Traverse says that with like an eighth of a tank. It's just low.
So we test drive it. It did have brand new tires on it. And I told him, like, it better have brand new tires on it. I'm not spending 60 grand on a vehicle and it doesn't come with new tires. So I think they may have put new tires on it.
Yeah.
When I bought it or before I bought it. So then we follow through with the paperwork process. They only have one key. Spend 60 grand on a used car. And you're buying it from an official dealer, a Jeep dealer,
where they can go in the back and go,
they can literally go in the back, get a key,
here's a key,
program it and give you two keys.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope, it's just got one. What the fuck? Right. And so that was like problem number two. Problem number one was the wheels. And so we do all the paperwork and everything else. We load it up and get home. I get home and, I'm just kind of like checking everything over.
So you drove it or no?
No, we trailered it home.
No. At the dealership before you finished everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we went and took it on a quick test drive just to make sure that everything was on the up and up, right? It didn't sound like it was
going to... Didn't notice those windshield wiper blades?
No, it was bright and sunny. Like, I didn't cycle the wipers. And on a certified used car, like...
I mean, it's $40 if they need one.
It's $100 for wiper blades today.
$100
for wipers.
Well, mine are cheap, though.
Really?
For God good damn. Wipers. Oh, for, like, Rain-X wipers.
I buy the Bosch ones.
I like the Bosch ones.
Yeah, the all-weather frozen...
They're $100 now for a pair? God.
Well, for three, because you got the back wiper, too.
Oh, so, okay, because I think I spent, like, $40 or $50 on mine.
Yeah, It was $98 for three wipers.
People wonder why they can't afford groceries.
Right.
It was $98 on fucking windshield wipers.
And so I get home and I see that the wipers are like they're literally torn. They're like noodles hanging on the windshield, right?
That's why I brought it up. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, I'm lighting these guys up. So I gave him a 2-star review for being dishonest about the price, for being dishonest about their, you know, heavy inspection process that apparently just misses wipers. And if you miss wipers, what else are you missing?
Yeah. That's like check three, right?
Yeah.
Sunroof worked.
Does it wipers, have a hood?
Wipers came on. Wipers didn't fall off. It's pretty basic.
Have you ever seen those videos of the truckers doing their truck inspection? And so they're like going around thumping the tires.
Yeah.
And the thump, thump, good. Thump, 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 good. And they get to the tag axle tires that are off the ground. They're lifted for a minute. Thump, 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 good. They wiggle it. And like the axle's about ready to fall off. And they're like, tires good, and they just roll on through, right? Like, does it have tires? Yes. You know, do they pass inspection? No.
I wonder if these are the same guys that did your truck inspection of your new truck.
Of my new one? Yeah, who knows?
Fuel pump line does not fly off.
Yeah.
Hood doesn't open going down the highway.
Those are the people you just random to get shit. Inspected, like the Green Valley Muffler. Like, that's the perfect place to take your car to.
Yeah. First off, love me some Green Valley
Muffler. Badass.
Yeah, they are.
So I light these guys up with a 2-star review because, like, literally to make a sale, it takes like, know, and trust from the customer. The customer has to like you, they have to know you, and they have to trust you. And, like, these guys, literally the only reason I stayed the course and made that sale is because of the rarity of the vehicle. Because
you drove fucking 4 hours.
Right.
That's why.
There's only two of these Jeeps available for sale within a 300-mile radius of my house. And one of them has like 84,000 miles and is hagged out. Like the interior.
They stole from you?
I think these people had like concrete shoes or something. Like the interior scratched all to hell. Like it's not in good shape.
There's young kids driving. Probably.
And then there was this one.
Foot on the dash.
And so there are more available for sale, but they have title issues or salvage title or stolen recovered title or whatever the case may be. And I'm not buying that.
Yeah, you just buy the one you have.
If I'm doing that, I'll buy mine back from the insurance company at a steep discount.
Yeah.
But so like the only reason I stayed the course is because of that. And what's funny is I posted all of this on social media, and there's a lot of people that were like, I would have walked away from that. Okay, I'm not walking away from 8 hours of my time and a full tank of gas in my diesel truck to over what's realistically probably $1,100 in issues. By the time you fix the curb rash, the wipers.
Yeah. We talked about this the other day on a Zoom call. You and I were just shooting the shit. And I said, so I bought that 68 Camaro online, never saw, but it was what I was looking for.
Yep.
And I said then, I will never buy another one because of that. Like, I will always go and see.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know anyone personally that's bought one online and was like, I'm 100% satisfied.
So the first one that we bought, I was 100% satisfied with the quality. I was not. So all of this was hashed out before I arrived on site. That Dodge dealer was up in Chicago, and they mandated that we had to buy wheel locks, door edge guards, and some other.
It's because it's fucking Chicago.
Right. And I'm like, look, I'm buying an asset. I'm buying a commodity. Like, I'm buying it and I'm bringing it home. I don't need wheel locks. I don't store the thing outside.
Wheel locks are just lugs with a special key.
I know. And they look, it's weird because they weigh, so it makes your wheels hard to balance because they weigh different.
The one on Janine's Traverse, they look the exact same. They just have a keyhole on the end. They're great.
Yeah.
I think they came that way.
I haven't swapped hers out yet. Hers are very obviously much larger. And so like that one, we knew all of that up front. And so we were able to cut the negotiation BS and be like, okay, that car as it sits, what is the price when it leaves? Right.
Yeah.
So this one, there were surprises when we get down there with the not having two keys and all this stuff. And I mean, you buy a car from an individual, a used car from an individual. Yeah. You kind of get what you get, but when you're buying it from a branded dealer, this isn't even a buy here, pay here lot or a used car lot. This is a branded dealer.
They've turned it into that though.
Yes.
They've turned it into that.
Right.
That is what it has become.
Yeah. And so, you know, I lit them up with a 2-star review, and you know, included photos of the noodle wipers and everything else. And I even screenshotted their their used car policy about their rigorous safety testing and inspection that it goes through. And it's like, oh yeah, so rigorous. You missed fucking wipers.
Yeah.
Like,
on. Oh shit.
Can you imagine if I got caught in a rainstorm? Like if we drove it home and got caught in a rainstorm and got in a collision.
You'd own their ass.
Oh man.
Well,
I'd have owned their ass so hard.
I hope so.
Yeah. God, that would have been bad. So the reason I'm telling you all of this is because dealership model that is about to fail. With like, you can buy cars on Amazon now.
I would never buy a car on Amazon.
If it's brand new, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, maybe.
First off, if you buy new cars other than for business purposes, you're a dipshit.
Yeah, probably.
These days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dumb.
Yeah.
If you're not writing off that depreciation, there's no fucking point.
Well, take Carvana. It's essentially the same Amazon experience, but they're all used cars. And you're buying them on the internet, and it just shows up at your door.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
You do all the paperwork online, you do the applications online and everything, and then a car just gets delivered and shows up to your door, right?
And then you wonder why there's only 3-star reviews on Carvana. Because they're fucking selling you bullshit.
It's garbage.
Yeah, it's garbage.
So here's an industry that is largely suffering in the quality department on one of the largest assets people will ever buy. Maybe not asset. The largest expense that people will go.
Yeah, it's not an asset.
It's not an asset. Those new cars are, asset.
Yeah, they suck.
But
it's a wash.
You know, somebody could totally revolutionize that industry if they just put service first. Right. And I know there are a few dealers out there that do service first.
There's a lot that do.
That are honest with their pricing. And if it says $55,000 online, you can walk into the dealership and hand them $55,000 and walk out with a car.
Yeah.
Right.
I will say this, you know, back in the day, like Chevy, Ford, they were the epitome of service in the industry because they were upper middle class.
Yep.
And they were providing awesome service and a good quality product.
Yeah.
Now that has switched.
Yeah.
Now it's more like the Acura dealer, the BMW dealer.
Yep.
What's the other one out off I-35? Aristocrat. Like that is what it is now. Yeah. They've set the standard. And not because
that's the white glove experience.
It's not because they've set the standard, but we talked about earlier, like the others have let the bar fall off. Like it's like they've only done it to themselves.
Well, and it's just they're bold-faced lying.
Yeah.
Ironically, so as I've shared about this stuff on social media, Brady, Hannah, he puts
I've been calling him Hannah.
Yeah.
Brady. Is it Hannah?
Yeah.
God damn it, Brady. I'm sorry, bud.
He shared a video with me on my Facebook. It was like three comedians sitting around doing a podcast talking about how atrocious the car buying experience is. And he was like, it's the only thing out there where like everyone just lies to you and you're lucky to make it out of the end with a car. Like,
with what you wanted.
Yeah. Like, do you have it in stock? Yeah. And you get there, they don't have it in stock. Is it this price? Yeah. And you get there and the price changes. Does it come with these options? Yeah. And you get there and their options aren't on there. Like, it's just like nobody looks forward to buying a car from a dealer, right? Everyone dreads it. So for the same reason you dread that experience, find all of those things that you dread and fix them in your own company, right?
Yeah.
So like we literally built our entire sales process around all of the things that people hate when they have to schedule a plumber. And you got to keep in mind, when you're buying a car, it's a good thing, right? Even buying a replacement car from our stolen one, yeah, we're still emotional over the theft, but people typically enjoy buying a car.
I think we are emotional over the theft. I don't think that was a we statement.
Yeah.
It's a Danielle still losing her mind.
Not hell. But
I bought her something shiny. Now she's happy.
You know, chances are we're in some kind of a service business where people may not be all that happy to call us because something broke and they have to call us, right? Their furnace ain't working. Yeah. Their water heater's
not
working.
They're mad out of the box. You literally have someone who is excited to make a purchase.
Right.
And then all you have to do is barely elevate that.
Yeah.
And make their dreams come true. And you can't even fucking do that anymore.
Right.
This is a shit show.
Tell somebody the car's on the lot, you keep it on the lot until they see it.
Yeah.
When you tell somebody the price, that's the price. None of this, like dealers already do this whole bullshit of the documentation fee. We got a document fee. Really?
Dude, I'm telling you right before the show started, I said, I have a story. When I bought my red truck, okay, my F-150 gets stolen. It's smashed into a million pieces. I argue. I get my money. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go buy a new truck. Right. Like I didn't get much for that Ford. I think I got like $12,000. I go to Cable Dahmer on Nolan Road, like their used trucks, and I'm just looking around. They didn't have anything I really wanted. Salesman comes up to me. I said, this is what I'm looking for. I want something between this and this year. I'd like to have X amount of miles on it or less. I'm going to drive the shit out of it and beat it up. It doesn't have to be fancy. Oh, we don't have anything that way, blah, blah, blah. We have one or two trucks. Shows me the trucks. I said, oh, I like that red one. So I'm going to take that red one. I drive it, blah, blah, blah. I go inside. I sit down. I said, what's the price on the truck? He tells me, I said, I'm going to write you a check for $20,000. So I'm just going to write you a check and that's it. I'm taking the truck. We're getting the fuck out of here. This is over. Like, this is a 10-minute process.
Yeah.
This guy's super cool, right? He's like, well, we have this 3M that's on it, and we have this, and we have – there were like five different things.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want any of those. I said, I'll take the 3M. It's already on there. I said, but the deal stands. I'll pay you $20,000 for the truck, and I'm walking out of here.
Yeah.
I said, I'll go get a cashier's check. So my bank was on 39th Street.
Yeah.
Hawthorne. I said, I'll run down and get a cashier's check. I'll be fucking right back. That's the truck I want. This is what we're doing. Okay, I'll talk to my sales manager at the time. So he goes, he comes back. He says, hey, man, you got to pay this $500. I don't even remember exactly what it was. Dealer something, blah, 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 this and that. I said, I told you I'd give you $20,000 for the truck.
Yeah.
I'm not paying the $500.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking doing it. Okay, he goes back to the sales manager. He comes back. Him and I are shooting the shit. He's a pretty cool guy. Yep. I tell him I'm from Argentina. I'm from this and that. I've lived out here I'm there for 45 minutes.
Yep.
I'm like, dude, are we doing that? Like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, okay, I don't know. So he goes to get the sales manager comes back with him, sits down like we're sitting right here.
Yeah.
He looks me right in the face. He goes, hey man, we always do this $500 deal. This is the thing. This is blah blah blah. I looked him right in the eye. I said, dog. I said, I'm writing you a check for $20,000 and I'm taking the truck or I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
Yeah.
I said, this is bullshit. He leaves. The guy, the actual salesman sitting there, the guy leaves. He's laughing.
Yeah.
He goes, dude, when you said you were from Argentina, I didn't believe you. When you looked him in the eye and called him dog.
Yeah.
So the salesman leaves. He comes back. He goes, dude, that guy was pissed. I said, so what are we doing?
Yeah.
The guy walks by and the salesman says, are we doing this deal or what? And the guy goes, yeah, we're doing the deal.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, there's something to be said for standing your ground. Like, this is the deal. I'm doing the deal and that's it.
Yep.
This whole bait and switch tactic that car dealers aren't the only ones doing it. Any online sales place where you have to go pick something up that you don't pay for before you get there is pulling bait and switch, which is illegal, by the way.
Yep.
Stick to your guns.
Yeah.
Don't make people have to get fucking insane and raise up and be like, nope, this is what we're doing. Because let's be honest, a lot of people fold. And that's why they get away with it.
Yeah.
Because people just are like, okay, yeah, I'll pay the $500.
Like they were waiting the 45 minutes just for you to eventually.
Yeah, for me to say, okay, I'll take the $500.
They wear you down. They make you wait. That's the whole purpose of the sales manager.
You just chilling in his office.
Is another roadblock and they wear you down.
Yeah. But to your point of take these examples and make your sales structure not, I don't want to say not like that because that's not how they are, but make it easy for the customer to get what they need or want.
Yeah.
And they don't have to feel like they have to twist your arm or tell you to fuck off.
Yep.
To get the deal done.
Yeah.
Your job is to make it easy on them, make the sales experience fantastic so that they tell their friends about it and that they fucking call you back.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, it's a lot easier than it used to be.
Yeah.
Don't be a douche.
Well, so like the comparison would be if somebody called up and said, my water heater just broke. It's a 50-gallon gas water heater. Do you guys have them in stock? Yeah. Can I get on your schedule today? Yeah.
Fuck yeah, you can.
So we would send a tech out there. Here's the comparison to the automotive dealer. We send a tech out there, and the tech is clueless as to what we want or what the customer wants.
Yeah, right? There was no communication between the person that took the call and the sales tech.
And meanwhile,
service tech, whatever
meanwhile
you
when we book the call, we tell the customer we keep 50-gallon natural gases in stock on the truck. So when the sales guy gets out there, like he'll be able to take care of you right away, right? Well, if we're a car dealer, we tell that customer that, and then our guy gets out there and he's like, "Oh, I don't have a water heater on my truck." So we're already dropping the ball. We're already lying.
Here's an expansion tank.
Yeah,
I have an expansion tank. Will that work?
And then, I've got a Constellation model, right?
Yeah, I have a 5-gallon.
I know you wanted
a
tankless. How about this 40-gallon electric, right? But then on top of that, that would be like telling them the price to install it, getting all done with the installation, and then telling them that there's a $400 warranty registration fee.
Yeah.
And then making them have to argue and negotiate and everything else.
If you think that companies don't do that,
they absolutely do.
They do. Even in the plumbing industry, yeah. It's bullshit.
It is.
Don't, if you want to be successful, don't do stupid bait and switch shit like that.
Well, and what are the odds?
Mike, I'm so mad I'm shaking my fucking table.
Yeah. What are the odds that that customer is ever going to give you a referral again?
Zero.
Right? Like,
zero.
Like, I don't do the whole don't you know who I am thing or anything else. I didn't tell those guys that I've got a fairly engaged social media following. And they needed to behave a certain way, otherwise I'm going to light them up. I didn't threaten that.
It's not big enough to roll over a Jeep agency.
Not yet. Not really, right?
Yet.
I didn't tell them that I have a podcast and I'm going to, you know, let everybody know how they did on this podcast.
Don't get us sued.
Right? To get sued, I would have to be telling non-truths.
That's
and the
true.
Only person that told a non-truth was them when they advertised a price for $55,000 and you can't buy it for $55,000.
That's not true. You could still get sued. You just
they'd lose.
Yeah.
So, and you know, here's,
hopefully we do get sued. We'll counter sue.
Here's the bullshit part about it is my insurance company was using this particular Jeep as one of the comparables to determine the value of ours that got stolen. And they said, here's one that's very similar to yours. It's a year newer. It's got 4,000 more miles and it's only $55,000. And meanwhile, I'm telling my insurance company that what we had stolen was worth 60.
Easy.
And so
easy.
What?
I was just saying, don't give up too many facts if you don't want them out there.
Oh, no. So, you know, I was able to go back to my insurance company. I was already arguing the price because they were only wanting to give us $55 for our car. And I'm like, hey, this comparable right here? Yeah, the online price is $55, but I've called them. I want to buy that Jeep. $55 doesn't buy the Jeep. $61 buys the Jeep.
Yeah.
So not only are they bait and switching there, but they also caused a lot of headaches for me on the comparable value for my car that was stolen.
Yeah.
By actually listing the car for 6,000 more than what it's listed for online.
You motherfucker.
Right. So, you know, stay true to your word. Make sure all of your processes actually make the thing go smoother and earn word of mouth referrals. Word of mouth referrals are the freest form of advertising you can get.
Yeah.
And do you think Patriot, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep in Pryor, Oklahoma is getting any kind of a recommendation from me? Fuck no, they aren't. They even got tagged in my Facebook post and they're too cowardly to respond to any of it. They haven't even called me and say, hey, we've seen the 1-star review in your Facebook post. What can we do to make it right? They don't care.
No, because they're like, man, we only gave 48 for that Jeep and we got this motherfucker for, we
probably.
Made 10. You know what I mean? They don't care.
Probably.
They don't care.
But like what could have been the same set? Cause I mean, I use my Facebook for the other way too. Somebody gives me amazing service. I celebrate the fuck out of it. And I encourage everybody to go there. Right?
Yeah.
What could have been an awesome deal to where, you know, anybody would go there and, you know, hey, look, if you're looking for a new Jeep, hit up these guys. They'll deliver, right? They could have sold a fuck ton of new Jeeps off of word of mouth referrals. I'm not gonna say mine, but like everybody's.
Yeah.
But instead,
yeah, everyone
they're
does
treating it. Everybody like shit. And then they have to go buy new customers through paying for advertising.
Yeah. Every referral you get or every job you get does not necessarily mean that you're going to get 10 sales, but you don't know which referral will get you those 10 sales.
Right.
So you have to treat every customer like it's the customer that's going to get you 10 referrals.
Right.
I was listening to Jordan Peterson talk about business and about this. And he was saying like, you do that like 10 times and you're out of business. Like it doesn't have to be, it's not like 9 then 10. But he's like, that's the recipe for going out of business is like, you know, maybe once or twice. But he's like, you do that 10 to 10 different customers. You know, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And instead, like, here's the crazy part about everything. So I bought the Jeep for $57,500. There's realistically probably $1,000 to $1,200 in things that I now have to do to get it up to the quality that it was advertised at. Right. The wipers were $100. The key fob's $150. It's another $150 to program it. So now we're up to $400. And then we got the wheel repair.
I'll give you the other ones. I'm not giving you the wheel repair. You saw that.
Oh, right. But when I asked them, I want photos of all damage on the vehicle before I drive down there.
They didn't give it to you?
They did not give me the wheel repair damage, right? They sent me photos of the scratches that were on it, but not the curbed wheels.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I didn't plainly ask them, are the wheels curb rashed? I didn't need to. I said, show me photos of all damage.
No, he said it's women driven and you knew.
Yeah. But
I say that. What's crazy, rims are fucked.
What's crazy is I would have happily paid 60, which means I'm paying more for two keys, non-curb rashed wheels, and, you know, brand new wipers on the thing.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not about the money. It's not about that. It's about the lying, and it's about the false promises, and about the claiming one thing but then doing another, the lack of integrity.
Yeah.
That's what makes a customer, like, people will forget what you say, but they'll never forget how you made them feel, right? And so when you tell somebody you're going to do something for one price and then you change the price, that makes them feel a kind of way that they don't forget.
Yeah. Even if they're still getting a deal after you've made the upcharge,
right,
they're still feeling like they got fucked.
Right.
Even if they're not.
Same, like, so I've got a van right now at the local Ford dealer in town, Blue Springs Ford. I called him up last week. I said, one of my guys is going to be off Monday and Tuesday. His van needs brakes. I want this whole thing set up to where I can drop it off Sunday night and I can pick it up Tuesday night with new brakes. So that means if I have to prepay for it, I'll prepay for it. I want to make sure that all the stuff's in stock and ready. Like, he's only off these 2 days and I need brakes in these 2 days. No big deal. Let me go check the parts. They check with the parts counter. They got all the stuff in stock. They're ready for me. They're waiting, everything.
Why'd you take it to a dealer? Is it cheaper there?
It's $1,200 to change brakes on a Ford Transit, no matter where you take it.
Gotcha.
It's an expensive brake job on a Ford Transit. And so, they promise all that stuff. I uphold my end of the promise. I drop the car off Sunday night. They take it in Monday morning. And then today I get a call from them this afternoon that says, hey, I've got bad news. The car's not going to be ready, by Tuesday, close of business. Like we promised, one, because we're closed tomorrow. So we're not even open. And two, we have to order parts. And I'm like,
two strikes.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck was the whole point of me trying to get all this set up and everything else? Meanwhile, now they have my van and it's all taken apart and everything else. Like, I'm half tempted to go take it back from them and not give them any money. But, you know, I'm like, here again, a dealer making promises and then doing the exact opposite of what they promised.
You can't tell me that taking it to like Meineke or somewhere wouldn't have been the same money.
Yeah, it's probably similar. But if it's the same money, I might as well have a factory Ford authorized service tech do it, right?
Why?
Just makes it easier.
Why?
Well, it should make it easier.
That's my point.
But, like, this is the other thing. You expect
maybe you should stop buying Fords.
Yeah, right.
You've had a bad rash.
What's that?
The Jeep's the one that got stolen.
What's that auto repair place in Blue Springs? That used to be where the old Quadtripper was. It's like North 7.
Was Ford not fixing your Transit when it got wrecked?
Yeah.
No, and they gave you the fucking runaround?
That's Ford, Blue Springs Ford Collision. That's a different, it's actually a whole different business.
Still a dealer.
It is. It is.
Stop taking your shit to dealers.
You would expect to have the slowdowns and the delays and you're saving money, but they're going to be a little slower because they don't have the robust parts infrastructure, right? And so you would expect that at your small town shops, but when you go to the big shop,
that's my point.
You go to the big shop, it should
that's
be
what you're paying for.
Right.
And they ain't got it.
They ain't got it.
Stop going.
So yeah, don't think that once I do pick up my van, I'm going to let them know I got five more of these that are all going to need brakes.
Yeah.
And based off of this, you guys ain't getting,
you know, the guy that you were going to buy that building from?
Yeah.
That guy does tires and brakes.
Yeah.
And that's all they do. Take them there.
I might. So the guy actually does job
a really good job
times four.
God, what's that guy's?
So there's $4,800 that dealer is no longer going to get from me.
Mitch is new
because they dropped the ball on this one.
Are they all disc?
Yeah.
But you just have to pull the axle to change the rears.
You have to pull the rear axle to change the rear disc.
Are they turning your rotors?
You have to pull them to turn them and you have to pull them to replace them.
No, I'm saying, are they turning all your rotors?
No, they're going to replace the rotors.
Okay.
So for the price that you could turn them for a little bit more money, I mean,
I'm trying to decide if I should tell you I'd do them for $800 in my freaking garage. Yeah.
No,
I got nothing to do, man. I got time.
For the, for the amount of time and effort and everything that it takes to pull the axles and everything else, it's like you're not going to go turn the drums and put them, or rotors and put it back on there.
Well, that's why I was asking. That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
But, you know, they literally set their future with me as a customer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they dropped the ball on. They made promises. And not only, like, they literally just said yes to everything I asked for on the phone, knowing they couldn't fulfill it. They said, yes, it'll be done by end of business
they just
Tuesday.
Lied. They just lied.
And they aren't even fucking open Tuesday. So I'm like, what the fuck? Right. Yeah,
it's almost like you call ahead and you schedule it and you kind of purposely just F them over. You're like, oh, where's the car? We're like, do you get the parts? You know?
Well,
like put them through the ringer and very, then didn't do it again.
Very similar story. So I just had a colonoscopy on Friday and I was trying to set that up. I know. Too much information, right?
No, it's just similar story. No, it is not a similar story. When you go from rotors to Mitch's asshole is not a similar story.
Yeah. Getting ass raped either way, right? No.
That's segue.
So my doctor referred me to this one colonoscopy, this gastrointestinal place. Bro. And that place refused to service me because I'm under 45 years of age. They were like, no, we just don't see patients under 45. And I'm like, no, this is like my insurance may or may not cover it. So it's probably going to be a cash out of pocket thing. And they're like, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, you're
we
not-
don't see them. And so I called my doctor back. I'm like, you're going to have to refer me to somewhere else. They're refusing to see me because of my age. And they were like, hold on, let's call them. They should see you because we're giving you a referral.
Yeah. Right?
And so next thing I know, I get a call from that gastro place.
Sorry, we're fucking douchebags.
Sorry, we made a mistake. We don't see people under 45 without an on-site consult first. And you should have been asking for a consult, not a colonoscopy. And I'm like, no.
You should have been asking me if I had a fucking consult, yeah, you dumb.
Your customer service person should have said, oh, you want a colonoscopy? Cool. We just need to do an on-site consult first. That's like, this is on you, right?
Yeah.
So then we finally get the consult scheduled.
Only you, buddy.
Yeah.
Only you.
We get the consult scheduled, and then, like, again, excessive communication, emails and texts confirming the appointment, and then no shortage of...
Healthcare's the worst, dude.
Yeah. No shortage of messages saying that if you cancel your appointment within 24 hours, you got to pay. Like, there's a cancellation fee.
Have you seen that episode of Seinfeld?
Hold on. So... They 5 hours before my appointment, they call me and cancel on me. And I'm like, oh, well, based off of the terms of our agreement, where do I send my invoice for the cancellation fee? And they were like, what? No, it doesn't work that way. Well, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, fuck you.
Are you telling me my time's less valuable than yours?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm still the one who had to take 2 hours out of my day. Like, I now have a 2-hour opening in my day.
Yeah. I can't fill it.
Do you know
isn't
what my time is?
Isn't that your
worth?
Excuse?
Right.
That you can't fill it this quickly?
Right. And they were like, oh, well, see what we're doing. We're just going to, so like, you know, I shot over the bow, right? Well, they rescheduled it for a week later. And by then I'm like, fuck these guys. They already tried to refuse service. And then they cancel on me within 5 hours before the appointment.
A service that you don't even want.
Yeah. And right. So
really
I found,
don't want that.
I found somebody else. It's actually the gastro place that all of my family has gone to. So
Midwest Gastronology.
Yeah.
Yeah. 291.
They,
good place.
You know, they have the whole family history like in house.
Yeah. And they're looking and they're like, this motherfucker's messed up. We got to see him right now.
The place is connected to the plastic surgery place.
Yes.
Okay. I've been there.
So they call.
I have two have had my butt fondled there.
They call back, get a consult scheduled. And then so they got a consult scheduled faster than the other one who just punted me out a week.
Yeah.
Okay. This was like on a Thursday and I had a consult scheduled on the following Monday.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
thank
then,
God it's not Canada. It'd have been 2025.
Yeah. So then I go to the consult on Monday and they're like, let's get you in for a colonoscopy. How does Friday sound? Yeah, right. Keep in mind, the other place is dragging their feet and everything else, and they're not even going to do a consult until the Thursday.
Let's do it.
And so here I get all these confirmation texts. Hey, just confirming your appointment for tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. If you need to cancel, let us know, you know, there might be fees. So I call them up and I'm like, I need to cancel my appointment. And are you aware of our fees? And I'm like, yeah, turnabout's fair play.
Fuck you.
You canceled on me last week and I didn't get to charge fees. I'm canceling on you today. Good luck. But you don't have anything to bill me on. You don't have a credit card number. You don't have my insurance. You don't got shit.
Yeah.
Good luck sending me a bill.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. DirecTV's been sending me a bill for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Yep.
Fuck them.
So, but yeah, that's, you know, again, it goes down to customer service. Now that gastroenterology place lost all of their ability for the colonoscopy. I mean, just imagine if they would have found something and like more procedures, more follow-up, more treatment, more everything. They could have just been dinging the fuck out of my insurance. Now they don't have the opportunity because they have piss poor customer service.
Yeah.
So,
well, and you know, back in the day, people, regardless of how much work they had coming in, whether it be healthcare or whatever, still like went above and beyond of, I'm going to make this great for the customer.
Right.
Now it's like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I have all this work coming in, all like, and then they just shit all over you.
Yeah.
It's just constant.
Well, I asked the guy at Blue Springs Ford today about our car. I was like, you promised it would be done by end of business tomorrow. Well, we're not even open tomorrow. Okay. Well, that doesn't change the fact that you have promises that you're dropping the ball on now. What are you going to do to fulfill the promises you made? Don't make this my problem.
Yeah.
You guys made the promise.
I can tell you what they're going to do. Nothing.
They're going to do nothing.
Yeah,
right.
They're going to do fucking nothing.
And it's going to cost them money because now, literally there's $5,000. I have $5,000 more dollars in brake jobs I have to spend on the rest of our fleet. They ain't getting that.
Sounds like Dave's doing some brake jobs.
Yeah.
They've
right?
got nothing to do.
I mean,
bring it out of the house. I'll case of beer, dude. We could do two in an evening.
Yeah.
Easy. They're changing the rear rotors, which are axles. Who cares? Fronts are just going to be discs. You're talking 45 minutes a truck.
Oh, no. It's a lot. There's a reason it's $1,000 to do, bro. It's a lot of work. So you got to pull the axles out of the differential to change them.
So
you say so.
So I'm always open to new challenges.
Hey, remember when you tried to replace your transmission? What happened to the ear on the bell housing?
It was broke before I took that off.
Oh.
It wasn't even on there. And you know what I did? I bought bar stock and made one and welded it on.
Yeah.
Don't question my mechanics skills, motherfucker. I will show you.
So some of that too comes down to liability is now we have guys driving vehicles, you know, company provided vehicles on the road.
Sounds like an excuse to me.
No. So we're looking at we're probably going to have to get cameras in the trucks.
To keep your insurance rates lower.
To keep the insurance rates lower, because as of January 1st,
that's a fleet thing.
Holding your phone in your hand while driving is now against the law in Missouri. So
okay, clip.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Using your phone is also against the law, right? And so now I have we don't know this definitively yet, but in order to maintain insurance compliancy.
So are they going to program in an address and hit go and then just not be able to touch it once they start?
Right.
I'm going to be a rebel. Because, I mean, how am I supposed to use maps? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. You have to program it in, hit go, snap your phone in, and then not touch your phone till you go.
Yeah, and then drive.
You know what I would do if I worked for a company like that? And I'm old, and I've done it.
We know, Dave.
There'd be a fucking cap on that camera every day.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I don't know how the fuck it got on there, Mitch.
Yeah.
I pulled in.
The cameras just quit working.
I pulled in another 28,000 this week. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, like, you want to fire me?
Yeah.
No? Okay, then shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So I was supposed to have
a meeting today. That's a shitty thing to have to do.
I mean, it is and it isn't because.
It costs you a bunch of money up front. And it's only going to, more red tape always slows down business.
Yeah.
You may think, well, it only slows down 30 minutes a day per guy, 40 minutes a day per guy. You add that for a year, that's a lot.
It doesn't slow you down at all.
Oh, come on, dude. What tasks do they do all the time while driving on their phone? Work tasks.
None.
They don't invoice while they're driving?
Oh, fuck no.
They don't.
You can't type up an invoice and drive at the same time.
They don't respond to emails or texts from you about, hey, this job's doing this, this job's doing this, this whatever.
No, between calls, they do handle their tablet work, but not while they're driving.
I bet they do it all the time.
Well, they may. They're not supposed to.
Well, I bet they do it all. My point is, I bet they do it all the time. Is there going to be one in your truck about you being on your phone too?
Yeah.
During business hours?
If we have to do it, it'll be the whole fleet.
Because I know damn well that that's happening.
Yeah.
Constantly.
If they have to do it, it'll be the whole fleet.
You're going to put the little black cap over the camera?
No.
You're just going to do it anyway and say, fuck it?
I'm just, what I'm saying is.
My point is it's overreach and it's going to slow things down.
To me, the overreach is if I mandated that you don't
have
time.
I didn't mean overreach for you. I meant insurance and government wise.
No. I don't even think it's they're driving my $100,000 vehicle. If I can't watch you drive my vehicle to make sure you're driving it safe, that's kind of a problem. And it's not about a lack of trust, right? It's about like track records and liability, and let's defend our, like, if somebody pulls out in front of you because they ran a stop sign and you plow into them and we have no defense of anything, we're fucked, right? The big company always loses. They get sued,
yeah,
and then they settle. Whereas if I have a dash cam that shows, no, like little Susie Homemaker was putting on her makeup while driving and pulled out in front of us and we clobbered her at 60 miles an hour and the speed limit was 65, like it's not our fault, then that camera saved our ass.
We're not talking dash cams. My point is, it's going to cost you money to have cameras in the vehicle, watching your guys and make sure they're not going over the top and doing shit they're not supposed to.
Yes.
If that is a thing and you get audited and there's a camera in your vehicle for being on your phone, you're going to pay more in insurance.
Yes. Oh, yeah, totally.
That's my point.
Yeah, yeah. So that's but what I'm saying is, like, the way that I've built the guy's process and everything else, they are not to be, like, overreach would be me expecting you to drive to your call and fill out an invoice and answer some text messages all while driving.
I didn't,
right,
mean overreach from you. I meant from insurance companies,
yeah,
and shit,
well,
like that.
You get big enough and stuff like that just happens no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. The insurance companies won't give you a discount for like fleet. They call that telematics. They will not give you a telematics discount
unless you have it
below a certain size. If you're, yeah, a one-man shop, there's no telematics discount.
Yeah.
They understand that if you're a one-man shop, you're in control of your own driving and, you know, you're okay. But
are they giving you a discount, or are they saying you have to do this to maintain your rates?
They're figuring that out right now.
Okay.
So we're shopping our insurance, and we're going to go with them, because even without all of this, it's going to save us $10,000 a year to switch insurance companies.
That's a lot of money.
It's $833 a month.
Yeah.
So a fixed overhead.
Will they have to put one in Danielle's car?
Maybe. It all fleet vehicles. It depends. Like, that's what we're all trying to figure out.
So I can only imagine it hurting you. I know you have to do it to save money. Don't get me wrong. The in cab stuff can only hurt you.
I don't even see how that even hurts. Like,
well, if there is a wreck or something happens, and then they go back and they're like, oh, well, he was on his phone.
Yeah,
we're dropping you. They still have to cover you.
Right.
It doesn't go to his personal liability.
They don't need to prove he was on his phone to drop you. I might. I mean, I'm good. I'm glad I'm changing insurances anyway, because I've had 4 claims in the last 4 months.
Jesus. That's a lot of claims, man.
Right. And 3 of the 4 have not been our fault.
Doesn't matter. They don't care.
Only one of the 4. One of my guys just hit a fucking street sign.
My truck getting stolen wasn't my fault, but I still hit my homeowners because I made I wanted tool compensation.
Right.
Like, they're like, well, it's because it's a homeowner's. I said, what's the difference? I didn't go out there and steal the fucking tools out of the truck.
You're the one who made me claim that on my homeowner's, not me.
It's complete horseshit.
Yeah.
You're like, well, if that would have been out of Home Depot or whatever, I'm like, what's the goddamn difference?
Right.
There's no difference.
Yeah.
It's just a legal way to screw me out of 15 grand.
That's the insurance equivalent of the, we always charge this $500 doc
fee. I thought you were going to say colonoscopy.
No.
He was braced for it this time.
Yeah.
He was bracing for it that time for the water on the roller coaster.
It was just, it's just, oh God, they just get you every other which way.
The high level overview of all of this is to be transparent and do what you say you're going to do. If you tell a customer that it's $8,000 to replace their sewer, don't go back and say, well, it was harder than I thought, so I'm going to charge you 9.
Yeah. Right? Have a clause that says if we encounter
concrete, bedrock or something. Right.
If we have to cut the road, it's going to be this much added.
Right. So if you want boatloads of word of mouth referrals, deliver exceptional service. Don't fuck with people after you've given them a price, and be a man of your word and have integrity and do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
And you're good.
Yeah.
The moment you stop doing what you say you're going to do is where you're going to run into all kinds of problems, and you're going to be like, customers just want to take advantage of me. That's because you're taking advantage of them. And you're going to be like, I can't get enough leads. Well, it's because you're not earning leads. You're buying leads.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, literally the fix for all of that is be a man of your word, honor your price, do what you say you're going to do, deliver exceptional service. And leads are now cheaper because a lot of them are coming in from word of mouth. You have less upset customers because you aren't intentionally pissing them off. And all of a sudden you enjoy your job better because customers are actually smiling when you're leaving instead of pissed off that they called you.
Yeah.
So, this show kind of went way long, but it is what it is.
You know what? You've said that for the last 2 months.
Yeah. And our shows are just getting longer.
They're just, the shows are just now long.
Yeah. But, those, you do those things and all of a sudden the new year, new me bullshit changes, right? If your business didn't make very much money last year and you want it to make a lot of money next year, don't promise yourself new year, new me.
Be intentional with
what
you want
to do. Be intentional with it. Deliver exceptional service. Be a man of your word. Have integrity, right? So if you want help with that, we help that. Oh, there's my neighbor's dog walking
into here.
What
the fuck is going on here?
Our neighbors are out of town, so we're watching their dog. That's Chief.
Chief, get the fuck out of here. That Chief, dog looks older than your dog.
They're about the same age.
Jesus.
So, yeah.
Lord, I'm sorry for the blasphemy. There's a lot of shit going on today. A lot of stuff in my world.
Chief's a derp. He's a big dorky fella. And every year or every time that we watch him.
I wanted to say, is that you?
No, every time we watch him for our neighbors when they come home and we're like, are you ready to have Chief come back home? They're like, oh, you didn't lose him? We were kind of hoping for that phone call.
Is this Carly and?
No, no, no.
Okay.
No, this is my neighbor that the husband works for the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
And she's the former news personality.
Gotcha.
So. But
this is why I don't live in a subdivision. I don't watch people's fucking dogs.
Oh, no, it works great. Because like when we go on a ski trip, they're watching our dog. So, and we don't actually like keep them overnight because they live just a couple doors down.
Oh, so you can
we'll
just
have
go
him over here during
out.
The day and then we send him back to his house. So he sleeps.
I'm thinking about having
house.
My dog put down so I don't have to take it anywhere. I hate that dog. I fucking hate that dog.
I just hope ours makes it to the ski trip and you're willing to put yours down.
I hate that dog.
Hey, did you notice what's not in the room next door?
Your antlers?
Yeah. My antlers.
I didn't say anything on purpose. I was hoping like after the show, you'd be like, hey, I got it back. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it surprised me.
Dropped them off yesterday. So
do you remember what happened when you
2 to 3 weeks
took those to that guy? Do you remember the bullshit you gave me?
Yeah. 7 months. And,
yeah, and
now
you,
it's 12.
Literally, you told me, you said, I don't know why you would take it somewhere that was going to be a year. That's dumb.
Yep.
How long's it been?
So I asked him.
How long's it been?
It's been 12 months. It's been a year.
It's been over 12 months.
Yeah.
It's been 13.
Yeah. So I,
fuck you. I've been waiting 13 months for that.
Well, so he
feels so good.
He tried expanding his business. He usually does 75 mounts a year. He tried expanding his business.
That's a lot of mounts.
Well, he tried expanding it to 100.
That's a lot of mounts.
And then, so he had it, he hit his 100 cap and then he had a whole bunch of people bring in record book deer.
And
he was like,
them.
I can't not take that
yeah.
because he wants it in his portfolio.
Yeah, of course.
And so he's actually like, he was like, all right, 115 is the cutoff. And then I called him and he was like, 116 is the cutoff. So,
man, I'd like to really get good at tanning hides. The problem is it takes a lot of work for
well,
no
he didn't
money.
Even tan them.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I'm saying
for the same reason, because it's a lot of work for no money.
Yeah. It's a lot of work for no money.
It's actually cheaper for him
to send
them
off to a commercial place. Yeah.
And then get them back.
Dude, did I tell you I missed a coyote off my deck the other day?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still butthurt about that.
Yeah.
I got him on camera 2 nights ago. He's back. He's been gone for a while, but he's back.
Hey, if you stumble across an infant raccoon, just call me. I'll domesticate that thing. I want a little thief running around my house. Pull up a couch cushion and find half your shit missing.
First off, they'll be born usually like May.
Yeah.
During the summer. And I have, okay, we can make that happen.
Yeah, let's
do it. That's easy to do.
Let's do it.
You want a possum too?
No.
Dude, have you ever seen a baby possum?
They're cute.
They're cute.
And the regular possum is actually so ugly, it's kind of cute.
Ah!
That is funny.
Yeah.
So I watched a video on TikTok or something the other day. This possum was hissing at somebody. And he hit the reset switch on it. You know where a reset switch on a possum is?
Kicking it?
No, it's the back of their tongue. This possum's mouth open and hissing, and this guy reached in his mouth and just pushed on the back of his tongue.
Hell
and
no.
And that possum was like, well, that was awkward. And he calmed down, and his tone immediately changed.
Oh, my God. Possums are... Have you ever seen that movie? It's King Kong with Samuel L. Jackson.
The 3-hour one?
I don't watch a lot of Samuel L. Jackson movies.
I think it's 3 hours.
Die Hard, that's about it.
Super long nose.
It's got that crazy guy from Step Brothers in it. Not Will Ferrell, but the other guy.
The curly-haired guy.
Yeah, the curly-haired guy. I can't remember
his name.
Anyways, there are these giant creatures, and I swear to God, they just took what they thought a T-Rex was and mixed it with a possum, and that's exactly what it looks like in the movie. I'm like, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's insane. You should look at it.
Spielberg when we need him.
Yeah, it's an awful movie too. It's so bad. Ugh.
I need to go through and start taking clips of our longer podcast, like the last 10 minutes, because it just like...
Makes them with the front 10 minutes?
The weirdest conversations. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they're just random.
Here's a compilation of
That's why people listen, Austin, for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's probably not true.
So...
This is like half a Joe Rogan show.
Yeah. We're
good. He does one every fucking day.
I know, right?
So that'll be it for this week, fellas. Hopefully this taught you something about how to give amazing service and how to be a man of your word and how to follow through with the commitments that you've promised to a customer. Learn from somebody who knows a thing or two about delivering exceptional service and that has had anything other than that in the last week. And make sure that that never happens in your business. So if this taught you something, if it made you think about things in a different way, if you are better for having listened to this show, do us a favor and share this show with somebody else. Drop our name whenever you're thinking or seeing somebody
or not
that wants to start their own business. Hit the share button and actually send this episode to somebody that you think would benefit from it. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.